Excuse me, brought to you by Big City Kids, Best Friends, and a bunch of opinions. I'm Feb.
I'm Rox.
And this is Excuse Me.
This is the episode you and we have all been waiting for. The one where we actually get some audience engagement.
Yeah, it's like you all are on the show right now.
I mean, besides those of you who have actually been on the show, which I think is quite a few of you at this point.
Yeah, probably like a good percentage.
4 years in, yeah.
Of our friends and friends of friends. But
I think a good contingent of our listeners are probably people who've formerly been guests on the show by now.
Excuse Me is completely funded by viewers like you.
Yeah, community-driven podcast.
Yeah. So today's episode is actually going to be full of your juicy questions and secrets, not ours.
Well, it might not even be a secret per se, just a comment.
So I want to clarify that Rox and I have not gone through these questions or confessions prior to recording this episode. So this is going to be a surprise for us, and we're going to be giving our genuine reactions.
I'm really excited. I'm really happy about the number of responses we got, and I'm really excited to dig in.
Yeah. To reiterate, this is completely anonymous. We don't know who submitted, but we do have questions and confessions that were submitted by the same individuals in terms of just like it shows up as being submitted by one person, not who it is. So you're... secrets are safe, but we're going to try to group the questions and confessions together so they're not all over the place. But
yeah, and look out for, you know, what you asked or what you commented or submitted. And if our answer is satisfactory, or if you want to follow up, or if you, you know, didn't understand what we were saying, you want to let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know what you think. We might do a part two of this sometime down the road. See if you guys are willing to get more off your chest, or you feel like we give really sage advice. Maybe you want more.
Yeah, but just, you know, to maintain an anonymity, feel free to privately reach out or DM the Instagram. So our first question is, I have a small penis and I'm worried about my ability to pleasure women. Any advice, ladies?
It's about the motion of the ocean, not the size of the boat. This person also said their confession is mostly the small penis. So,
I mean, you know, it's really just about how you use it. I've heard about larger ones that have been uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, every body is different. Work with what you got. Hope that was satisfactory, dear listener.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal, really. Okay. What's considered settling versus being steadily content / happy?
I think settling has an undertone of knowing that you can get something better and knowing you can pursue it and you have the active means to, but you're not. In terms of just like, let's say in terms of if you're settling for someone in a relationship, it's like the relationship's not making you happy. And it's just the cons are outweighing the pros, but it's comfortable. I would say that's settling. If it's like a job, same thing where the job is like paying you enough and you've been there long enough that you know everyone, but it's not really fulfilling you and you don't have and it kind of brings you down day to day. It's really just like, I guess, like pulling at you and just picking away at you. Then I would say that's settling.
I feel like settling, there's like underlying discontent to it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No, being content is steadily content specifically is what the person said. I would say that like happiness isn't necessarily like a state of being you can maintain day to day, because that's just impossible.
Right. You're not going to be happy 24/7. And you might not like your romantic partner, the same amount every day either, depending on your own mood or whatever's happening in the relationship. But like, I think if overall, like, you know, you're invested and that person makes you happy overall and it's a net positive and, it's like still exciting at times. And, you know, there's still that love and caring, affection, communication, all those good things. Like, I think then those are telltale signs of, you know, being more steadily content.
Or I would even say, like, if you want to put it into terms of, like, non-relationships, like, your job or, like, living at home with your parents, just to, like, bring up stuff that, like, we've talked about on the podcast before, being within post-grad, I would say that as long as it's not, like, something that day-to-day kind of picks away at you, I think, and you're somehow, like, moving towards something that makes you happy, or, like, you're doing something that makes you happy every day, it's fine. Like, that seems to me that it's like, you know, if you're content or not.
Yeah, trust your gut. That's always good.
Our next confession is, I went on one of those rental electric boats with a group of friends. We went out so far and it went like 5 miles per hour. So I had no choice but to pee in an empty venti Starbucks cup and throw it aboard. I filled it up and wasn't even done peeing.
Wow. Props to you. That's a hefty bladder.
Did they throw the cup into the ocean?
Oh yeah, don't do that though.
Don't do that.
No props to you for that. I mean, like, I'm glad you took the initiative to relieve yourself, but also I don't know what the situation of the water was, but a lot of times around these boats, you know, like, you might be wearing a bathing suit, like, you might be able to just actually jump into the water. Like, I would have recommended, like, not that you're asking for advice here, but next time consider just jumping into the water and peeing there.
And I guess the boat is going 5 miles per hour, but I mean, if you can swim.
Yeah. And you can just hang overboard. You don't have to, like, you know, you can hold the side.
I don't even understand why they have to jump out the boat. Why don't they just keep the cup until they get to shore?
That's also true. If it has a lid, or if you're not, or just dump the pee out. You don't need to.
Yeah. I don't know why the cup had to be thrown.
Yeah. We don't condone littering, especially throwing plastic into our oceans. But yeah, props to you for handling your business, but maybe not in that way. Next question. This one's getting a bit heavier. We're going to have a lot of, I guess, contrast in the questions and confessions we get, so bear with us. Do you think someone should wait to get into another relationship after they just got out of an abusive one? I think you should wait after getting out of a relationship, especially if it's like a serious relationship, just regardless of, you know, the dynamics of that. And if it was abusive, like, I think it's really important to, like, reflect on relationships that we are a part of, so we don't, you know, because a lot of times we'll continue looking for the same type of person that we were with.
I think also every relationship you have with someone changes you as a person, and it's good to kind of decompress and unpack, just kind of figure out what kind of person you are now that you're outside of this relationship, and, like, what wounds you need to, like, tend to, and, like, what new aspects to your personality you need to nurture, and kind of figure that out before you go into another relationship. Because,
and don't look for another relationship to, like, solve any issues that you may think that you have. Because a lot of times, like, I don't know, you exit a relationship thinking that certain things were your fault and they really weren't.
Right. And also, I commend you for getting out of an abusive relationship.
Yeah, that's really big.
And I mean, like, if your next relationship is going to be great, as long as you take the time to really make sure that you're doing what's best for you.
Yeah. And I guess lean on the people who really care about you. And if you feel like you're hearing the same advice from them over and over again, then sometimes you have to be able to stop and listen to that. Because, as you know, someone who has friends and seen friends go through bad situations, I think a lot of times people oftentimes have to, I guess, make their own mistakes to learn something. But sometimes we should just stop and listen to the people who really love and care about us.
Yeah, it's like one thing to know something logically, but another to actually feel it.
Yeah, take your time. I hope that you're getting the love and support that you need, and you don't need to get that out of a relationship, or especially, I mean, a romantic relationship.
How do I get out of the talking stage? Why don't guys use condoms anymore?
So that second question, I mean, maybe I just, you know, I'm not getting the full range of experiences here. I haven't run into that personally. I think that's something that you need to discuss with your partner, and don't think that that's the norm. It's not the norm. Like, every person is different. And if you don't feel comfortable with them not using, you know, a condom or any other form of contraception, then you have the right to bring that up, and you should bring that up, and don't feel pressured that, like, you know, you have to bend to however their view of using that method of contraception is.
To get out of the talking stage, I would say just take the initiative to define the relationship. If you want a relationship, like, take the initiative. Because, I mean, if you're interacting with someone that's kind of beating around the bush, then is that really, like, something you want to, if it's like, you know, communication's a two-way thing, but someone has to open the door. Someone has to, like, initiate that. So you have to be like, yeah, what are we doing? What is this?
And you have to know what you want as well. So if you know what it is, if you know that you want to like, you know, take, you know, whatever it is you and this other person have to the next level, whatever that means to you, if you know that, then you should go for it. Because
if it falls apart, then that person was not trying to get a talking stage.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do what you think, do what you want to do, essentially. Like, don't waste, you know, don't feel like you need to waste your time for someone. And don't, I am a big proponent of not having regrets in these sorts of situations. Speak up for yourself, because oftentimes the other person might be like nervous and scared too to make that push, especially like, you know, if it's a hetero, like a heteronormative situation with like, you know, a guy and a girl, and the guy feels like he has to make the move, and maybe he is, you know, too nervous to do that. And it's okay if you're a girl and you make that push. And don't be afraid to ask someone to wear a condom. Next confession. I feel like my brain is deteriorating, and I don't know if it's from all the weed or COVID is giving me brain fog or both or something worse. Oh man, you know, before we read this confession, Fev said that we should, you know, try to keep the tone light. And I just, after reading this, I don't think I can do that. So here is another serious response.
I don't know.
Unless you have something to lighten this one up, Fev.
I mean, I'm relatable, like relatable. I don't know.
Yeah, no, very relatable. All of my brain is deteriorating.
I don't know. I'm so sorry is my truthful answer.
I gotta say, cutting out weed from my life did make my brain function like so much better and more efficiently, just in terms of like a productivity and getting things done. And also just like my critical thinking skills, I think vastly improved. Maybe that's just me. Maybe it's also like, you know, I'm still a student, but not being a full-time student anymore and having more time. I don't have more time. Yeah, I think not having weed actually did help. So I don't know. Maybe that's something to consider. I also think one thing that's really helped me get out of the brain fog is to just like go outside. Cause I think a lot of time we forget to do that, especially like with, you know, being on lockdown for so long, and a lot of us are working from home and doing school from home. So like, honestly, going outside, taking a walk, breathing in, like, you know, if you're feeling comfortable to do so, taking your mask off and breathing in deeply, like breathing in some nature of some sort, or find a tree. I don't know, but that helps a lot. So
I have another suggestion. If you don't already do this, you're going to be upset with me, but the version of revenge bedtime procrastination, I forgot the exact term, but like when you stay up late when everyone's asleep.
Oh yeah, no, I do that. Yeah,
the opposite of that is waking up super early before everyone else does. That's way better. Like that helps me so much, because you're most productive and have the most brain energy in the first 2 to 3 hours you're awake. So doing that before you have to actually do anything, if you like are a student or like you work from home, the first 2 to 3 hours or so that you wake up, especially if it's before everyone else in your house wakes up, it's the same thing, same serotonin as when you stay up after everyone else has gone to sleep, except by the time everyone else wakes up, you've already been in a good mood. You've already done things you want to do for fun, and it's time to start your day. So try that out. It's a hard transition when you do it, but once you get going, it's so great. It's such a great routine.
And it's been working for Fev, so I haven't tried it yet. I probably should. I'm a hardcore revenge bedtime procrastinator, whatever you just called it. So TBD if, you know, where it'll go for me. But
our next confession is, when I was little, after I'd scratch my ass through my clothes, I'd sniff my hand to figure out if I had poop streaks and had to change my underwear.
So okay, I have a few questions about this one, which I don't...
Cliffhanger.
yeah, I don't... Okay, were you scratching your ass because you thought you had pooped already?
If they had poop streaks on their...
But...
poop streaks left on their clothes. Or, oh, I guess like...
No, because they're scratching it. They're scratching it first.
Okay, I'd scratch
after I'd scratch my ass.
I'd sniff my hand to figure out if I. But how does sniffing your hand let you know?
Because if you're scratching it, here's something that we really need to address. I would love to do a whole episode on this. Americans need to wash their butts after pooping.
Yeah, we need to normalize bidets. Like,
or get like a wet wipe. I sometimes will use like a paper towel if that's available. I'll wet it, not like just dry paper towel. I'll wet a paper towel.
I try to time it so I do it right before I shower. I tried it so hard. Might be messing up with my body, like having to schedule my poops.
I don't try it right before
I shower. So everything just kind of
gets do that because I poop first thing in the morning and I shower at night. So I wash my butt after I poop, or I will take a wet paper towel and I'll wipe with that. But yes, you would avoid this entire scenario maybe this is when you were little, normalize it from a young age. I hope
they've grown from this.
Yeah. We would avoid the scenario if more of us washed our butts after pooping. That is my final comment to this. Okay. But how are you guys really doing right now? Mm. You know, I'm actually doing better than I have. It's up and down. I'm a very anxious person and there's just a lot going on in my life.
Are you steadily content?
I'm not steadily content. It's yeah. Good. The difference between good and okay is like a big difference for me actually. Cause I think a lot of time I am okay, but I really strive to be good, but that's harder.
That's a good one. I think I agree. I think for the most part, I've been closer to good lately. Just because I don't even have a reason. It's just been a good season. I think also just like getting the more like physical aspects of like getting vaccinated and like knowing that like you're kind of moving close to we're moving towards that's not unvaccinated COVID times, but you know, it's nicer to know that like we're moving towards something, and I get really excited whenever we're moving towards something that seems like improvement, but I'm just more excited because I got fully vaccinated. So,
well, congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah. And congrats to any listeners who have as well.
That's been
good. And also just like going to therapy has been really helpful. And my therapist has helped me realize some things I need to do more to manage my anxiety, which has been good. And I'm trying to practice that.
How do you find your courage? You should speak to this. I feel like you're more courageous than I am.
It's kind of impulsive.
Oh, okay.
I'm not an impulsive person and I overthink everything, but I think that I am pretty reactionary. I'm someone who, if something bothers me, I'll speak up on that. I think that's just a product of how I was raised. I think my parents are kind of the same way. They're pretty reactionary people. So I think it's just a matter of like I'm more scared of taking like a courageous action than I am about like speaking up in a courageous way, if that makes sense.
For me, I feel like me being courageous is more, I'm an impulsive person in general, but me being courageous specifically, I think is more of a practiced and like well thought out portion of my personality. When it comes out, I think for me, a lot of it's just being like, so what? And kind of really interrogating like, what's the worst that could happen? Because this is like one way to think of it. But like, if you're like, oh, like I want to talk to this group of people, but it's like, what, they're going to look at you? So what if they look at you? Gosh, they have eyes, they're going to look at you. Like what, you know what I mean? It's just like really interrogating until it gets to the point that it's just really ridiculous that you're not doing X, Y, and Z.
And I tend to be I've been jumping to catastrophes in my line of thinking, and I need to step away from that and kind of adopt what Fev is saying about like, what really is the worst that can happen? And that's something my therapist is
thinking too. Like which is like funny because it's like you're overthinking, you're keeping yourself from being courageous and like stepping out of your comfort zone because you're overthinking, but you can use that overthinking to your advantage and kind of really question like, what is it that's causing your...
Yeah. I mean, the courage, it's really just something that it's something you practice, it's something you get better at over time. And like, as Fev kind of said, is like putting things into perspective and just going for it. Sometimes you just gotta go for it. You gotta be a bulldozer. You gotta knock everything down, you know?
Do one thing that scares you every day. That's like that one quote. I've lived by that quote when I was like 19, and then it's just kind of gone up since then.
I mean, yeah, you don't need to do it every day, but you know, just...
It doesn't need to be something big. It can be like, I don't know, you compliment a random stranger on their shoes. That's it. It does not need to be big. It does not need to be jumping out of a plane every time.
What are your favorite coffee shops? I don't really drink coffee all that much. I mostly drink tea. So I'm not really one to comment on this because I mean, you know, the tea is pretty similar. They're like standard tea bags at most places you go to.
We did an entire coffee episode, by the way.
Oh, we did. Yes. Just check that out. That's our answer.
I like Hilltop and Inglewood. I like Alfred's. I like Nimbus Coffee. It's Black owned and Joanne's not getting any money from it. So
confession, I believe I prefer younger guys / men over older guys / men. And then there's a face like the, wow, how would I, it's like period underscore period.
Don't get yourself in trouble.
Yeah. That's really the only answer here. Otherwise, like do what you want. Just keep it.
If they're like a year younger, if you're like, I don't know, if you're 22 and they're 21, sure.
Right. It really depends on how old you are too. Relationships, you know, are complicated. People can find love at all ages, but like at some point someone is a child. So just keep that in mind. Yeah.
Do people really find classical music boring? I think it's beautiful. And there are so many composers and amazing pieces.
I love classical music.
I was like, what? I don't find it boring, but I also was in that. I was also in that. What?
Feb also was in an orchestra. She played violin.
Yeah. Learning violin to Orchestra Pipeline.
Yeah. And I played piano and I played some classical music there as well. So I think we're very biased here. Cause we're people who I think have grown up with it, I guess, in that sense.
I think classical music can also be an acquired taste if you're not exposed to it early.
That's true. Well, I think what's really cool about classical music that like sets it apart is that like the timing of the songs can like shift so much. Like throughout a piece, which is, you know, really cool and kind of like tells a story in a different way than like a pop song would, because a pop song's usually like at the same tempo the whole time throughout the song.
Yeah. And I think like maybe even like one way, if someone's listening to this and they think classical music's boring, one way to kind of shift into that and like getting into it if they want to is to find, I mean, the soundtrack of a movie that you like.
Oh, yeah.
A show that you like and just listen to that. And then you can associate like the images of that movie or show with the music. And then that can help you transition into other classical music. But I don't find it boring. Rox doesn't find it boring.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So some recommendations. I mean, if, you know, if you're into Game of Thrones, like that whole soundtrack is really great classical music. Check it out. Great music to like kind of do work to or study to too. At least for me, I find it like, it kind of hypes me up. You know, Star Wars, that's an obvious one. Harry Potter, there's this Netflix documentary called the Blue Ocean one, Blue Planet 2 has a really great soundtrack. If you want some entry level.
Just listen to Nicholas Britell. That's it.
Confession. I've killed my cacti about 10 times this year. Okay. Is this the same cacti? Do cacti have 10 lives? Like a cat has 9. Is that what
that
this means?
Cacti is fighting for its life.
Yeah.
Possession. But you know what? I don't know. They don't even want a response to this. I mean, like, okay.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your loss. But also, if it's the same cacti, I feel like you might be exaggerating. Your cacti didn't actually die and it's still alive. In that case, maybe, you know, Google some tips on how to treat your cacti better. I don't think they take that much effort.
Question. Can we talk about Barbie movies, like the early 2000s Barbie films? They had amazing hits.
Yes.
Yes.
You're speaking directly to us.
This question was very, very specifically directed towards, I mean, it was.
This literally brought us together as children.
This is
I'm sure we had other things in common, but this was a key pillar in our friendship.
Yeah, I was going to say pillar. This was a pillar in our friendship. Okay, Princess and the Popper.
What? Yes. The Nutcracker one.
The Rapunzel one.
The one with the island. There was an island one.
Oh, that was like when we kind of got older though. Not like much older, but.
No, yeah. Oh, there's a Christmas Carol one that I had on like DVD.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. But yes, the Barbie movies are fantastic. And the person.
Okay. Their confession is I looked up Barbie songs on Spotify to make a playlist, but there weren't any. Dang. That is so sad. Oh my God. Like. I'll have to like find a YouTube playlist of them.
Yeah. Someone else said, can we talk about herbal medicine and home remedies? Felt like I needed more of the we're going on a trip up.
We could totally expand on that in an episode in the future. You know, if anyone wants to be the guest in that, let us know. I actually did try one new herbal medicine home remedy thing. Have you tried valerian before for sleeping?
For sleeping? No, I haven't. How did you like it?
I liked it. I think it works pretty well. So if like melatonin isn't working for you, I don't know what the difference really is, but I just got like a tea. It was called like Extra Nighty Night or something and had valerian in it. And it was really nice. I think it helped me sleep better. So the next confession is I still sleep with my plushies and stuffed animals. Period. I'm 23. I mean, I could have written this confession. Actually, I have them in my room. I don't necessarily sleep with them anymore, but I think that is perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they're comforting. They have that nostalgia element. Like, they're cute. Like, why not? They're just like pillows, but in fun shapes, really.
Are tampons uncomfortable? Like, why are feminine products so complicated?
Yeah, it took me forever to be able to wear one, but I mean, once you do it, once you cross the bridge, it's not that bad. They're not uncomfortable. You don't really feel it. You don't feel it at all, really.
If you really want to, you can try like other menstrual products. Like, there's like the Diva Cup. There's another one I saw that is like, I don't remember what it was called, but it's like a plastic thing that kind of it like expands. I don't know. Like, it's like saran wrap material ish.
Interesting. I don't think I've seen that one.
And it supposedly holds like a lot more blood than tampons and pads. I'm not 100% sure if that's correct, but people say that like you don't feel that at all once it's in there. The only thing that I'm like wary about is like, how do you get it out? Because you have to put it way farther than you put tampons and stuff. So I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, I'm always worried that like if I don't feel the tampon string, I get really worried that I'm not gonna be able to find it.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that happens to anyone else, but it really freaks me out.
There's also period underwear.
Confession: I want to reconnect with my high school friends, but I don't know how to do that. I miss them so much and need them, but I feel like they don't want to know anything about my life or me. Yeah, that's a tough one.
I think you should reconnect with them. I think you should extend that brand.
I think a lot of times it's just about reaching out to people. I think I used to get freaked out and think that people didn't care about me, but really like someone just has to reach out, and sometimes people just don't do that.
If you really want to reconnect with them this badly, they probably feel the same way about you. I don't think it's anything about you. I think they genuinely just, there's no like webbing around it. Like, it's just that they haven't reached out. I think you should do it. I think you should definitely try to reconnect with them.
And you know what? It might mean a lot to them if you reach out too.
I love when people I haven't spoken to in a really long time reach out to me. If I have an old friend that like reaches out to me, I'm like, you remember me? A lot of the time, I'm really just like, oh my God, you remember me? So they don't even feel the same way. I mean, if they're your high school friends, obviously they remember you. But
how can strained parent-child relationships be fixed in adulthood? Honestly, just like any other relationship, you just have to learn how to communicate. If you know that is possible, and the parties are open and willing to it, which usually they are in my experience.
And also making sure that you have the space to retreat to as you're like doing this, because it takes a lot of effort to rebuild a relationship with a parent. And as you're doing this, you also need to like make sure you're taking care of yourself, because that's a lot of emotional labor to put into
something. Right. And you can't just like, a lot of times our reaction as the child in the relationship is to like react like as we would have when we were kids. And mm-hmm. You know, especially if now you're an adult and you know your parent is obviously an adult, like you guys are on a lot more equal footing, and you know, you have a greater understanding of the world than you did as a kid. And you know, your parent is a human too, and you have to, I guess, try and communicate with them in that way rather than like, you know, freaking out as you might have when you were a kid.
I think also just like acknowledging that like even though you're an adult, like you do still carry like your 10, 11, 12, 13 year old self, and like all those people are still in you. So making sure that like you're not hurting those people inside of you too. Like, you know, if your parent like raises their voice at you or something, and as a kid that like scared you, then like you want to back away if that happens again when you're trying to rebuild the relationship. And try again like later. But I mean, I don't know, sometimes parents can be stubborn too, so don't take that internally, because you are an adult. And even if your parents are having trouble kind of realizing that, you can know that, and you can know that like you have a support system outside of your parents, and like their opinion isn't necessarily the end all be all of you. Pickles yes. are gross. I'm not engaging with this.
I like pickles a lot.
I'm not engaging with this.
I like pickles of all sorts. Pickles are great, you know. Woo, pickles. What do you do when you know one of your parents cheats on the other parent? Just forget it. Take sides. What even counts as cheating? Why are divorces a thing? Okay, this is very loaded. I mean, we'll answer it, but like, you know, you don't need to listen to anything we say on the subject because
should we just take it one question at a time? I don't.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
You know, one of your parents is cheating on the other parent.
Oh, it's tough because like you're in the middle, man. I kind of had a situation like this, but with friends. Sometimes like if, you know, you're invested in both parties, you kind of just have to stay out of it and let them work it out because it's not your responsibility. Especially if you're the kid, man, like it is not your responsibility.
What even counts as cheating? Well, I think that's just defined. That's in within like your parents' relationship. Like yeah. I really I don't think that's like for what your parents time. Think of as cheating.
Because also you may not really know how the relationship works as like a romantic relationship because, you know, they're your parents and that's gross.
Okay. Why are divorces a thing? Well, divorces are a thing to allow people who are in relationships that are.
Sometimes it just doesn't work out, you know, and it's really like, unfortunate. But
in the same way that breakups are a thing, the same way.
And it sucks. It like extra sucks that it got to the point of the divorce, but it's good that the option is there if you like really need it and the relationship is problematic. And sometimes it's like more, you know, it's an amicable thing. It's good for both parties. I mean, also, I can't really speak on this, but they are a thing because I guess, you know, people can make choices and they, I guess, deserve to make a choice that they want to make, right?
Yeah.
If it's not harming others, I guess. You know, this is complicated.
Someone said, I want to buy cannabis, but I don't know how. Can you order it like you're at McDonald's?
Nowadays, yeah. Okay. But yes, it is pretty easy to buy it nowadays. So, I mean, if you live where it is legal, so. But if you don't, then sorry.
Ask people who smoke. Or like
take yes it. Yes find your local stoners, but nowadays everyone's a stoner. How do I tell my mom I dropped out of college to sell feet pics for a living? Please help. She's wondering how I afford a two-bedroom apartment on my own in Santa Monica. I'm wondering how you can afford that too. Like that, I didn't realize that was that lucrative.
No, it is. Oh, it's definitely lucrative.
Really?
Yeah, very lucrative. But I would say,
who do you sell it to? Is this like a private sale or is it like you're like on a service?
There's Instagram DMs. There's
people, Dan Harmon.
TikTok. If
no, Dan Schneider. Wrong Dan.
On Poshmark too. You know they do that? Actually, on Poshmark, you can sell used. This is a sidebar. But you can sell used socks.
Ew.
There's a market for that. Just let me know. If any of you guys are strapped for cash, there's a market for that. There's also websites.
I don't like that. Can we move on?
Well, okay, but how do I tell my mom I dropped out of college to sell feet pics for a living?
Maybe don't tell her that's how. Maybe
don't
just tell her
why you dropped out.
Yeah, just tell her that. I mean, if you're able to support yourself, then you can do it.
Tell her you're taking a semester off to focus on a craft.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, as long as...
not a semester off. Tell her you took another one.
Or a lie about what job you have.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell her you're a model. That's not really lying.
One time, I was fighting with my father, and once the fight was over, I was alone and so upset in my room. I screamed, call 911, and the cops actually came. I forgot what we were fighting about, but I didn't want him to go to jail, and I'm glad he didn't. Oh, this is a confession, by the way.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Family can be very dysfunctional at times, and I hope you're safe and doing well. I'm genuinely curious about this, and I think about it a lot, but why don't people really date anymore? Most of my friends have never been in a relationship, but I feel like in other generations, people were always dating. Like my mom was more or less in a relationship with different boyfriends from her junior year of high school till she was in her late 20s when she got married. And I just don't see that happening to most people anymore. I think this is one of those questions that I guess it really depends. Like, I guess we could comment on like societal shifts in relationships and like going back to our like fuckboy episode. But I also think this is like, my opinion is that it's like very person to person dependent. I think that a lot of people do still date. And if you don't, that's okay. And if you do, that's okay. I don't think there should really be a pressure either way. You should do whatever you're comfortable with, whoever you're comfortable with, at like whatever level of defining it you're comfortable with. But I know people who do, I know people who have never. So I think this is more of just like a personal thing, and you can't really compare yourself to, you can't really compare yourself to other people on this because, you know, you should go at your own pace.
I think also a lot of the reason why, I think most of my friends are not in relationships. So, and I think the overarching theme that I've seen like all of them is just that they're kind of like It's more, I think before it, like in our parents' day, at least from like my experience and like my family and stuff, a lot of them prioritize relationships for the sake of like procreating and just kind of living that like,
just like culturally too.
Yeah, like nuclear family life versus like a lot of my friends now are not really focused on like having a family. They're more focused on like really advancing their career. And I think it's just more of like the generational shift towards like kind of leaving behind the like heteropatriarchal framework of having a family and moving towards that. And like,
yeah,
this isn't, and it's not really an age thing. Cause I know like a lot of my family like members were like trying to get married young and like having kids young. And I think a lot of it's just like knowing that we have the choice in making a family and like having a family. And that's kind of where like our parents' generation of like dating was aimed at, versus like my friends are now more concerned about getting a survivable wage and less about, and also just exploring like their queerness and stuff and like exploring the world and like just kind of exploring more of like the social aspect of life rather than just like the like friend, like platonic aspect of life than rather than like the romantic. And I think that's more where the shift.
Right. And your romantic life doesn't need to define you or define your success. Like,
right, right.
Yeah, it's really about just being comfortable with you and with the people around you, whether that means you are dating them or not. So
Confession says, I'm at the gym and I'm in like a bra and shorts, but I just saw my old boss and he was kind of staring, but I don't think he knows who I am because I'm wearing a mask. So I'm hiding in the locker room right now. I'm glad you were hiding in the locker room.
Yeah, that sounds really uncomfortable. I'm sorry.
And this person also said, freshman year, I hooked up with this guy in a first floor lounge at a different school, and for some reason I thought the windows were tinted, but they weren't. So there were people walking by cheering and I thought I was just being paranoid, but they could actually see everything. Never again. Honestly, that's
one. Wow, that is some one, yeah. Next confession. I matched with both of my roommates' partners. One couple is still dating and the other couple broke up. Neither of the couples know this to my knowledge. This was before they dated, so they matched with me before dating them. It's just a match, not a relationship. We know how Tinder is. It was freshman year, so I doubt even their partners remember it. You may ask, why do I remember? I'm very specific with who I swipe right with and tend to be very picky and remember names and faces. Photographic memory or creep, you decide. Maybe the algorithm thought my taste in partners also extended to my roommates. Okay, so they matched with their roommates' partners before their before the roommates started dating those people, basically.
Okay.
Well, this is a confession, so you're not really asking us about it. I think that's perfectly normal. I was
trying to process this for my sake.
I have similar taste to some of my friends. Like, you know, we've overlapped, crossed paths with the same people. It happens. It's okay. As long as you guys are, you know, able to acknowledge
it. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, like, thanks for the confession. That's fine.
And especially if they break up with that partner that you guys, I mean, in this case, it was just a Tinder match. You didn't actually like, you know, have a relationship or any sort of like experience with them.
Dated, so it doesn't even matter.
Huh? No, but I'm saying like if you have even like, you know, then you guys can both like have this person that you can talk shit about or compare notes on. It's kind of fun.
Tips for imposter syndrome.
I'm still trying to figure this one out.
Yeah, let us know. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Imposter syndrome. There is always going to be someone that's mediocre at the thing you want to do that's going to do it more confidently than you will. So you might as well do it.
It just goes back to the courage thing too.
People in my experience, people who encounter imposter syndrome are usually not bad at the thing. Like it's like you got that place because you're qualified.
And a lot of times it's something that affects women, you know, which goes back to how we're, I guess, conditioned or raised and taught to assert ourselves. So it's just, it's a whole salad bowl of things, I guess. My roommates had a fight over whose piece of shit she had to clean up off the bathroom floor, and I think it might have been me. Just own your mess and try to do better. Really, all I can say.
This is a confession. I hope you've grown. I hope next time you shit on the floor, you clean it up.
Yeah, dude. Just. Do you have thoughts on the Demi Lovato versus the Big Chill saga? Yes, we do.
Oh brother, this is I don't want to get into it. I love Demi.
For context, we watched her most recent documentary together We've been big Demi fans our whole lives.
Context. Like within the last 10 years, we've just been in love with her.
Yeah, I know. I've been a Demi Lovato fan like since Demi Lovato has been Demi, not since she was born, but since she's been Demi Lovato in the public eye.
I think it's just really important to know the size of your platform and to be aware of the people you're calling out. And like,
I mean, clearly this is something that was like very personal for her. You know, sometimes it happens, you know, sometimes when you're bold, you can be too bold.
I recently graduated and lately my life has been a cycle of completely dreading work plus feeling burnt out and then spending my time off stressing about going back to work. I'm worried this is just going to be what life is going to be because I truly have no idea what I want to do for my career and don't see myself getting any fulfillment from a job. !
I feel this.
So my take on this is everything's temporary. Everything is temporary. If you like your job now, you don't have to like it next week.
At the end of the day, it's a job. It doesn't have to be the thing that fulfills you in your life. It really depends on how you view career in the context of your life, I guess. Some people, you know, are more fulfilled by, you know, the other activities they do outside of work, like family or friends or, you know, other involvements that they have. But some people, like, you know, they're very career driven. So, you know, it's okay if that isn't all coming from your job. Like, that doesn't define you. And as Fev said, jobs are usually pretty temporary. You're not going to be working the same job for like probably maybe more than like 2 or 3 years max, considering how people of our, you know, younger people are currently doing.
And you don't need to know what you want to do with your career ever. Like, you just need to know what you want to do right now in this very moment.
Chase the thing that
whatever excites you. If you want to ride unicycles right now, do it. Like, if you want to be an accountant right now, do it. If you don't want to be an accountant next week, quit. Like,
yeah.
And if you need that, everything is absolute and set in stone and that's been ingrained in us, but everything's temporary. You can, most employment is at will. You can always break off a contract. You can always pursue something that excites you. And if it doesn't excite you anymore, you can always go look for something else.
And there usually is going to be another opportunity because I'm sure I don't know who some of this, but whoever it is, like, you're already listening to this podcast. So I'm sure you're a very awesome, you know, with it individual who cares about the world and their mm-hmm. impact on it and all of that. So I'm sure you're going to be fine. I think, honestly, you're not just going to be fine. I'm tired of being fine and okay, personally.
Yeah, you're going to be great. Good. You're going to be good. Your best life.
Yes, you are. So don't stress about it. Do what you think is best right now. And then if tomorrow you don't think that is the case anymore, find the next thing.
Yeah. Beautiful and well said. Thank you for all your confessions and questions. That was the last one. We should definitely do this again. I think now that you guys know about our extremely well done advice giving, then you probably want to submit next time.
And thank you for all the diversity in questions and comments. Like, I appreciate getting more serious stuff and the funnier, like, I don't know, just more lighthearted. Like, that's, you know, who we are as people. And that is humanity. You know, you don't have to listen to what we said. Okay, bye.
I'm Fev.
I'm Rox.
And this was, excuse me.
Thanks for keeping on listening.